You were talking about Emily Rose. Tell us a little bit about that.
Emily, Annalise, she was a very devoted individual. Her prayer life was solid. Things started changing. We don't know a whole lot as far as why it apparently seemed to have demonic possession. We don't really know as far as what portal, what caused it, because her prayer life was very solid. Now, in saying that, at the same time, as I said earlier in the show, the closer you get to God, the harder the devil works against you. So keeping that in mind, if there was a moment of weakness, if there was a moment, anything like that at all, they're going to simply take advantage of that. And what had happened, basically, her life, I mean, in 1968, she started having seizures, and pretty serious, and she shaking horribly. And this was out of nowhere. I mean, she was in wonderful health all the way up until then. And so they took her to the doctors, and I believe, if my memory serves me correctly, she was diagnosed with grand mal epilepsy. I think that she just had a lot of seizures, and yeah. they wanted to medicate her, and so they did. And in 70 to 73, I think 1970, 1973, during her prayer life, she started noticing a lot of demonic images. In her prayer, so she was praying, and she just couldn't get these demonic images out of her mind. Again, we're looking for the possibility of schizophrenia here.
Right, right.
And so, but here's the issue: if the images were only popping up, and that was it, then you could probably diagnose this with some type of schizophrenic, some type of disorder, perhaps, maybe. The problem is she started doing things that were completely out of line. Again, it could be schizophrenia. She would eat. She would sleep on a stone floor. She wouldn't sleep on her bed. She ate spiders.
You say that alone would have got you put away, don't you think?
I think so. But that was the only insect. I mean, it was spiders, flies, ants. I mean, whatever she could find on the floor, she would eat. She started drinking her own urine, and the screaming that we heard earlier when you opened up the show, that was constant.
Just like that?
Yeah, that was
constant. Oh.
Now I would say probably on a less level, because that is actually an exorcism that's being taken place.
Yeah.
So, apparently the voices that the parents are explaining are the voices were very similar in that they would change pitch from very high to incredibly low to almost to a point where a machine could only play it. And so she would scream all night long. As if something was burning. So like this was in the stage where she was fighting the possession.
Is the individual aware that they're doing this while it's happening?
Well, it depends. Like for example, Robbie, the young boy, that the exorcist was made of. There were several instances he had no recollection. And as a matter of fact, even Emily, there were times during her possessed stages that she was so out of mind. And then the next day she would go to school, and everything
like nothing had happened.
Like nothing had happened, and she, in many cases, she couldn't remember it. She just knew that she was having this huge inner turmoil going on, and it got to a point. It was so horrible that this poor girl. They were doing exorcisms on her. They started, exorcisms in 1975, September of 1975. They stopped in July of 1976. Now, get this. They were doing one to two exorcisms each week.
That's a lot.
Exorcisms, they're exhausting.
They're exhausting for both people, aren't they? Both parties.
Well, I'll tell you, it got so bad that what had happened is during her prayer, during the exorcism, when she was in her state of mind, when she was in control of her intellect and will, she had ruptured her knees. From her genuflecting, she was forced. For some, there was the demonic force was forcing her down and raising her up, very similar to what was in the movie. And it got so bad that her knees completely ruptured, because during a prayer time, I mean, she would genuflect 600 times, excessively.
Unbelievable.
So it was pretty severe.
The demons that would enter her or the little boy or anybody else, do they have names? Are they named demons, or are they just demons from the other side?
And yes, actually, with hers, there was. She named the demons Lucifer.
We know that name.
Yeah, that's a scary one. Judas Iscariot, Nero, Cain, Hitler, and she also named a his name was Fleischmann, and he was a 16th century. He was a horrible priest. I mean, just a mean, evil person. And so she was calling out several demons.
So these demons were at one point, I guess, possessing humans, or they were humans at one point.
Well,
I mean, if you yell out the name Hitler or Fleischmann or whatever,
probably the demonic force that was over them, and she yelled out the name Hitler. And that was the only thing for me when I read the files. I thought, well, that was interesting, because either A, the demon is trying to confuse the exorcist, or B, we might have some mental illness, because normally, if you have an exorcism. And the priest is the first. You got to demand the name. They will fight. Now they will fight with you, because they don't want to tell you the name, because then once you know the name, you can control them.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And so they don't ever want to tell you. So they'll lie. I mean, they'll tell you your mother. They'll tell you your mother's name, or they'll tell you, if you're performing an exorcism on the person all of a sudden will just be completely chaos. Like you heard in the tape that you have, all that screaming, all of a sudden it will stop. Cold turkey. Just completely stop. The person will look at you and speak in the same voice as a deceased loved one and ask you to stop doing
it. Stop, leave me alone. And then it gets to you emotionally, I
bet. Absolutely. And you cannot make eye contact. You cannot listen. You cannot. You just have to continue with the prayer and demand the demon to be quiet.